This 4th of July, celebrate freedom from bad sleep at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to 70% on best-selling mattresses from the brands you know and trust. Plus, with select Sealy purchases, get a free adjustable base to help you sleep cooler, deeper, and more comfortably. Not sure which mattress is right for you? Our exclusive BedMatch diagnostic technology helps match your body to the perfect mattress in just minutes. And get free white glove delivery and setup, plus our lifetime price guarantee and 0% interest financing. Hurry into Sleep Outfitters. These deals won't last.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And so let's start The Last Word in sport with the disappointment of last night's penalty shootout defeat to Czechia in the World Cup semi-final playoff. 2-2 at the end of the evening. 4-2 Czechia won on penalties. Before we talk to Tony Cascarino and Gavin Cooney, who was there for the 42.ie, let's just hear a little bit of Troy Parrott speaking to RT's Tony O'Donoghue after the defeat.
Yeah, look, I think it really takes a lot of nerve to step up there and take a penalty. So for sure there'll be no blame from me or my teammates. I respect them even more for stepping up in that situation and taking a penalty. They didn't have to. They could have said no. They could have said they didn't want to take it. Yeah, look, I'm proud of the team that I can be that I'm a part of, and I'm proud of every Irish person that supported us today as well.
Talk to me about the penalties. The first one, first of all, you've taken penalties before. The keeper has obviously probably studied you. And what's it like stepping up to it?
I think, as you could imagine, there's a bit of nerves there. It is what it is. I'm good at penalties, so I was never going to say no. And that's the same as the four or five other boys that took one as well.
No. And then when you've taken one in the game and then you've got to take one in the shootout, do you decide you've got to change your mind or change?
Sometimes I do. I change sometimes just to keep the goalkeepers so they're not going to know what I'm going to do. Look, it's really hard for me to stand here and talk about me scoring a penalty. After so many hearts have been broken tonight, look, we just said in the changing room that now is the time to stick together as a group, because we have some really, really good players, and we'll be back for sure.
That was Troy Parrott last night. Tony Cascarino, what did you make of it all?
Oh, Matt. Look, we never would have envisaged, Matt, we'd get a 2-0 lead. We got a fortunate penalty. I thought it was quite soft. But the first period of the game, I thought we played really well, then got a second. We look back and we're going to, we hit the crossbar, we hit the post, we were nearly there a couple of times. Ryan Manning's pullback on the shirt, I think a lot of people are going to look at that was a defining moment, Matt. And I think he's got a lot. And I said to you before the game that what you can't do is make, you know, game management of being in that position is don't make a fundamental mistake of, because the referee gave a penalty, was very soft to us, Matt. And I was talking about this afterwards and saying, when that happens, you've got to be aware as a player that he could give a soft penalty against us. And it wasn't that soft. It was more of a penalty than our one. So look, we played, I'm at, oh, let's get it right. They're a bang average team. They really are. I thought we were so comfortable at times, and we lost our way in the second half. Lots of fouls, incredible amount of fouls in the match. And obviously, Czechia were the most guilty. They committed way more fouls, and they sort of interrupted our momentum in the game. Look, you have to, that's streetwise, that's managing a game, which I think we did in the first half and parts of it in the second. But overall, Matt, when it got to extra time, I feared that penalties was the way that we'd go out.
Gavin Cooney, you should never have gone to penalties, should it? I mean, isn't that the real story here? Because, okay, as Tony said, we were very fortunate to get that penalty. And then we had a pretty bizarre own goal to go 2-0 up. But yet, we were probably worth the 2-0 lead at that stage, despite the manner in which the goals came. And then we handed the initiative back almost immediately. That was the defining thing, rather than the penalty shootout.
I agree, Matt. That's the cold, hard truth of it all. And I think it's why there's so much pain associated with this defeat for the Irish players and the coaching staff and supporters as well. Ireland had that game in their hands and they let it slip through their fingers. We've had past World Cup playoff defeats where, you know, in recrimination and in grievance, where it's been snatched away by Thierry Henry and so on. This one was one we had and we just let it fumble. Ireland were in a phenomenally strong position, as Tony rightly says, at 2-0. And Tony is also correct to say that the Czechs were bang average. They were so poor from the off. And they were, you know, their new manager comes in and he leaves Suchek on the bench. We flagged it ahead of the game. Just a completely bizarre decision. And one we thought Ireland would profit from. But the turning point, unfortunately, is Ryan Manning's silly little pull of Ladislav Krejci's jersey. The ball is going out of play. There's no need to do it. And it just gave the Czechs a lifeline to the game that they hadn't earned. And even at that 2-1, Ireland continued to create the better chances. Malumbi hit the post in the second half and Parrott had a great header, superbly saved by their goalkeeper. But we just didn't keep the ball well enough. We just grew nervous. And it wasn't really, I feel, through any pressure that the Czechs were putting on, because Keller had one second half save to make. But I think it was the stakes of the occasion and the prize on offer, a potential ticket to a World Cup, the biggest thing any of those players will ever play for. And we just didn't put our foot on the ball in the second half. We just didn't control possession. And we were almost tempting fate. And then, unfortunately, it's a soft free kick in the corner. But Ireland should defend it as a corner. And they don't. They just aren't able to impede Krejci's run. His header makes it 2-2. And Ireland just never really got any momentum back from there. And when it goes to penalties, unfortunately, history is against us. Ireland haven't won a penalty shootout since Italia 90. The Czechs have never lost one in their history. Prior to last night, they never even missed a single penalty in the shootout. So unfortunately, it ended as badly as we all know it did.
Okay, what about our manager, Hal Grimson's approach to the second half? He took off Jack Taylor, who was going well, but who had been booked. He took off Ryan Manning, who had been booked. But was Alan Brown the right person to bring in, somebody who we hadn't in a squad recently? Or was that just an indication of just how stuck we were for players who could go into central midfield and perhaps get their foot on the ball?
Gavin? I think it's reflective of the latter, Matt. I mean, the other player he could have brought on in that scenario was Jason Knight. But, you know, the Czechs are monsters. I know there was a few guys there over 6'4". One striker at 6'7", and there was a concern about Knight's height and physicality in that department. So then you're looking, maybe it's really just Alan Brown who struggled to come on. And the story of the game as well, man, it's just Ireland didn't get the impact off the bench that they needed and didn't get the impact that the Czechs got off their bench. I mean, Taylor and Manning made way for Brady and Brown, as we say, because they'd been booked. Brady, very ring rusty, struggled to get up to the pitch of the game. And obviously Brown struggled in midfield and obviously it ended in really difficult circumstances for him. Adam Ida came off the bench as well and he wasn't match fit. He hasn't played in months and, you know, he struggled to make an impact as well, although he slammed home his penalty really brilliantly and Jimmy Dunn came on for Coleman, but again, didn't offer a huge amount, certainly in an attacking sense. So Ireland just struggled to make Ireland just didn't get the impact off the bench that they needed. And that's reflective of a lack of depth. And then what few options they had just hadn't been playing. And then the one option, the bench option that had been playing, Sammy Smodics, last 2 minutes before he's poleaxed very cynically by a Czech player, knocked unconscious, brought to hospital. And Smodics was brought on to take a penalty in the shootout. So, you know, we can relitigate things and imagine how different it would be if Smodics was fit. He would have been taking a penalty, perhaps instead of Alan Brown, but just everything conspired in that respect against Ireland.
Tony, do you think if he had his time back, what do you think would Hal Grimson have done differently?
It's tough because, as Gavin explained there, that we just haven't got the numbers, Matt. You know, we could clearly see. I mean, look, you start with Seamus, Matt, and he hasn't kicked a ball really. Oh, obviously, he's trained and everything, but he's not kicked a ball in a Premier League match for Everton since November. You know, and there was a number of injuries in that squad, so it was an issue. I thought we just handled it so well in the early period of the game and we took it to them. But I also felt, I wonder how much legs we've got in our team. And game management's a big thing, Matt. We've still got a lot of younger players in there that, you know, just get caught up in the scenario of what it was, which was a World Cup playoff match. And I felt for them because, I mean, in my heart, I'm thinking, look, you know what, fair play to them. Roll up your sleeves, give absolutely everything. Troy Parrott defends all the penalty takers. Look, there were some pretty poor penalties in the last couple. being brave enough to step up for them. And I did hear, Matt, and you might be able to give me a bit of backup on this story about not really practicing penalties, which I find bizarre, and I certainly wouldn't want to be mentioning it, you know, that we didn't, as Helgrinson had alluded to, that penalties weren't really the dumb thing prior to the match, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of that? I mean, I know the circumstances are different when you're taking a penalty at the end of 120 minutes, when you've an enormous crowd there, when you're physically possibly drained, but you also have adrenaline pumping. Can you really practice penalties for that situation, Tony?
Yeah, well, Matt, I think you have to. Because at least if you do the practice and the homework to get into a penalty shootout. Now, if you said to a golfer, you don't have to practice putting or practice chips, or, you know, you have to do that. Just psychologically, you've got to go and go, I've done my bit. I've worked after training. We did it every day in Italia 90, Matt. We did it all the time, every day. We had competitions about with penalties. And it wasn't done in a way that, you know, you got rigidly do them. It was just, we had some fun. We took penalties. We tried to, you know, no win went in goal, for God's sake. And, you know, we'd all have little bets on how many we could get. But we practiced penalties every day. Now, if you go into this sort of scenario, which quite likely, Matt, the game could go to penalties. So at least in your mind, if you practice them and you know what you're going to do, they've got a 6'5" goalkeeper. You know, if he guesses right, he's going to save them. If the penalties, especially the last two, if he guesses the right way, he saves them because he's so big. And they weren't great strikes. And I, you know, as bad as my penalty was in 1990, Matt, I definitely hit it with power. I drilled it because I just thought, these keepers, you don't want to give them time to move. If you can hit it with pace, and we were told, you know, Jack said to us at that particular time, don't you try and be clever and place it and give it a bit of force, bit of venom. And I didn't see it. Look, Brady's penalty was great. The way he took it, he looked like a penalty taker. But if you're getting players like Smodics going off, being injured and can't take one, you know, that's an issue for us.
Okay, can you tell us more, Gavin, on that particular issue?
On the penalties, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so Hal Grimson told us last week that they wouldn't be practicing penalties in a formal sense. Players were free, obviously, to take penalties at the end of training and so on. Whoever did, we don't know to what extent they actually did that. But he basically said, we have so little time here. We arrive on Sunday. We fly on Tuesday. We play on Thursday. We have effectively two full training sessions in Dublin. There's other things we need to prioritise. And I get that. But at the same time, you know, other look at England, for instance. Like, England had this hopeless record at penalty shootouts, and Gareth Southgate transformed it ahead of the 2018 World Cup by developing and practicing this long process. And it looks a bit silly to watch at times, Jordan Pickford getting the ball and walking up and handing it to the next penalty taker. But it's, you know, the whole line about it, that it's impossible to replicate the pressure of a penalty shootout on the training ground. Of course it is. But the idea between practicing penalties, and it's as much practicing the process and everything around it, is to give you some kind of something to fall back on, some muscle memory that will take you out of the pressure. It's not to replicate the pressure. It's to reduce it or mitigate it or potentially even eliminate it. And Ireland just didn't do that. And I think that will be a cause for regret now when they rake over the ashes of this defeat. Perhaps they just didn't have time to do it, in fairness, over a couple of days. You know, Gareth Southgate was able to drill that process into the England players in a lengthy build-up to the 2018 World Cup. Ireland hadn't qualified and so didn't have the luxury of that time. But, you know, it's been a recurring issue of this management staff, and a complaint or a concern, at least voiced by Hal Grimson, that they don't have a sports psychologist. You know, most elite sports teams do have a sports psychologist, and they work in areas exactly like that. In kind of a concept known as psychological safety, that when the pressure is on, you know, fight or flight, you stand your ground and you'll be able to fall into kind of familiar routines just to center you and ground you in the moment. Ireland just didn't have access to that knowledge and didn't have the time to practice it, even if they did. And look, it's small margins. Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference on the night. But, you know, if you look at the precedent set by other kind of high performing teams, not only in football, but elsewhere, there's a reason all these teams practice nowadays. And I just feel Ireland might have missed a trick.
Okay, Tony, do we have the basis of a team that can qualify for future competitions?
I hope so, but we've got to find younger players, Matt, coming through. We most definitely need that. We can't just rely on what we've got. We've got, if you look at the team last night, Matt, there's quite a number of players that are coming from the Championship, which, you know, I know we've been spoiled in the past, but we have to produce younger players. And there's no better way of getting youngsters coming through, say, in the next decade, who watch Ireland be successful. Because when we were successful, we saw people like, you know, obviously Robbie, Damien Duff, Richard Dunn, and, you know, just many of them, Shea, you know, and others, Matt. We had a great number of players that came through, and I fear that that is going to be a bit of an issue. We also don't have the ability to, you know, the dual nationality. We've lost players in recent years, which we used to be the sort of pioneers of bringing in players who could have that dual nationality. So it's a challenge, a massive one. But making World Cups and increasing the infrastructure to have a more successful Ireland team further down the line is so important, Matt.
Yeah, but Tony, is the problem partly as well now that it used to be that the best Irish players went to what was then Division 1 in the English League, then became the Premier League. But now it's, you know, it's a genuine multinational global league. It's just become so hard for Irish players, as it is often for English players, to find their way into a Premier League squad.
Yeah, Matt, you're 100% right. I mean, look at Belgium. You know, as a nation, they produced so many players that have come from Africa, that got dual nationality, and they already had top players. We're losing them. We're losing, you know, the obvious ones are Rice and Jack Grealish, and there'll be others along the way. But we have to find players, Matt, and you're right. So many of my colleagues who I played with played in the top flight, which was Division 1 many moons ago. But they still, afterwards, there was people like Phil Babb, Jason McAteer, you know, the younger element of Roy Keane, but, you know, there's still loads and loads of players. So I'm hopeful, Matt, somewhere in the middle we can fall. We might not get to that top level again, but we can just find a few just to enhance our squad, because we so desperately need it. Last night was a perfect example of it by the end of the game. We are so short on numbers.
Yeah, well, Harvey Vail made his debut. I'm not sure he even kicked the ball in the time he was on the pitch, Gavin Cooney. Are there others with Irish heritage who could be persuaded? I know Kiernan Dewsbury Hall at Everton seems to have said no. Are there others that they're chasing down?
I believe that there are, yeah. There will always be interest there. The killer is that if you qualify for a World Cup, suddenly your offer becomes a lot more tempting. There's a few players they have contacted. I mean, one of whom, I don't know if they've contacted him. I know that Alex Scott, the Bournemouth midfielder, is technically eligible for us. He was included in an England squad last year, but not capped, which is interesting in and of itself. So we'll have to wait and see if he would have any interest in declaring. I don't know if there's been any contact there. I just know that he's eligible. And they're certainly casting the net far and wide. It's one of Hal Grimson's pragmatic qualities. He's willing to troll everywhere in search of talent. So we've seen players come in like Kevin O'Toole from the US not make any impact, but the likes of Harvey Vail, if he fulfills his potential at club level, will be a good player for Ireland. And one of the positives, I think, of Hal Grimson's reign going forward is the fact he's got these extra camps and extra friendly matches in the schedule now. They'll go to Spain for a camp in May. Ideally, of course, that would have been for World Cup prep, but now it's going to be a chance to assess kind of fringe talent and see who Ireland can draft in. So these are good ideas on Hal Grimson's behalf that the FAI have been a little bit too reticent, in my view, to back financially, but they're happening now. So they'll have to troll for talent, because while the investment is beginning to, the taps are beginning to turn on in terms of money going to League of Ireland academies and so on, you know, the flow through of talent from that into the senior team is more than a decade away, if we're being honest about it. So they have to get canny. They have to scout the world. They have to scout the world for Irish passports. And I'd expect them to do so. But obviously, how do we qualify for a World Cup? People will be ringing the FAI rather than the other way around.
Okay, Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie and Tony Cascarino, thank you so much for being with us.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.